10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Bellwitch podcast has made it to 100 main episodes. What a magical milestone. To celebrate, the Bellwitch podcast has created a delightful limited edition 100 episode celebratory mug. Feel at your most magical, sipping delightful brews from this very special limited edition drinking vessel, available for only 100 days after the 100th episode has dropped. It will be on sale on the merchant account right up until the 28th of September 2026, and then shall be deleted forever. So do get yourself one, dear witch. Link in my bio and grab yourself a piece of Bellwitch history. Transformed life. Sleeping in a blanket of deep, rich soil all this time, I was suspended in a muted existence of something like a life. Birdsong on the blue screen above me was black and white. I was cocooned in a shell of depression that would occasionally crack to let in the light. I would push my fingers through and feel the dirt, and perhaps taste the grainy sand, full of minerals and life. Sun in my eyes dazzled me then. The shell closed up again. The cracks healed themselves, and I wondered, how long have I slept? Something had changed in me. I need not sleep anymore. I am feeling the healing. I am ready to climb out of the deep. I accept the growth from beneath and above me, and also from within my own soul. A power surge erupted. I emerged with force, learning the way to be me, thrive in my own transformed life. I am awake. I made the decision to set myself free, transform the condition, the retrieval of me. Now then, witches and beautiful souls, welcome to the Bellwitch podcast, a show that gets you witching in the 21st century. For those who are new here, hi, I am Swales, the friendly green witch of the Bellwitch podcast. I hope you are ready for a beast of an episode, as this is a very, very super duper special episode, which is the 100th episode of the Bellwitch podcast, which is amazing. I can't believe I've made it. And the timing is particularly important, but also kind of shoddy planning on my part as well. I am winging it. I wanted it to come out for solstice, being the midsummer longest day of the year. And also today, the 20th of June, is my mum's birthday. And I know I talk a lot about my mum, and I sincerely hope you don't mind me doing that. I miss her so much as a 40-year-old, as a mother, as a daughter with not many, well, no blood relatives apart from my own children. It is so important to me, and it is who I am. And I strive to be honest and open on the podcast. So what comes, comes. I had a problem because I wanted to do a summer solstice episode in keeping with the current pattern in which I'm attempting to do a Solitary Witch episode on each Sabbat for this year, beginning at Yule and finishing at Samhain. And I also had this weird vague idea that I should do a reflection, like a summary of the last 100 episodes to acknowledge the evolution of the podcast and how different past me is to present me. But I couldn't figure out which one to go first, and I really needed the next one to be a solstice, really. And then Jenna, the repeating Bell Witch guest and good friend of mine, suggested I should do a 100-minute episode. And in that moment, the seed was sown. So in this episode, you can expect two parts. The first part is all about summer solstice, midsummer, Lithur, the things you can do to celebrate, the correspondences and all that jazz. Bit of folklore, bit of silliness. You know how it goes. And then we have a little short break with a sweet little bit of music. And then the second half is me reflecting on how far I've come. And I do get a bit emotional because it's quite deep. And I begin right at the beginning about how the podcast manifested itself, all the ideas and the learning and the departure of the co-host and how things changed. A very honest, very authentic podcast episode. And I hope you enjoy it. And if you do get to the end, well done. You must be a Bell Witch super fan. You legend. I think it is good for me, at least, to talk it out and reflect. And I think people who are about to start a podcast, I think it'll be beneficial to hear the journey of a new podcast being set up from the perspective of somebody who honestly didn't have a chuffing clue at the beginning. I've got so much to tell you. I went to Manifest at the weekend, did a bit of vox poxing, so you will get a bonus episode from that weekend. This is the second Manifest. A brilliant weekend full of everything spiritual, manifesting, feng shui, brought to you by Matt Tweedy of the lovely Canny Crystal podcast, which again is a podcast gift because I began listening to podcasts, specifically Canny Crystals, after buying Moldavite back 6 years ago when the Moldavite craze was going on. Turns out we had a podcast and I was totally invested in it. During this weekend, I laughed. I met so many people, including fellow witches and podcast listeners that came up to me and said, oh my gosh, I've just discovered your podcast. Oh, I love your podcast. One of them in particular said, I've just started a podcast, but we'd just finished a workshop. I did want to engage, but there was just so much going on at the same time. And then she disappeared. So if you're listening, please comment your podcast, who you are, and accept my apologies that I didn't manage to have a proper conversation with you.
Rude, Swales, rude.
Oh, it was such a lovely gathering, though. I cried so much. I did a sound bath that shook my soul. It was so deep. It took me by complete surprise.
I wasn't ready. I didn't expect it.
I had the opportunity to walk on glass and break an arrow with my throat. Such a badass. And then the ultimate thing was to walk on hot coals in bare feet. Firewalking has been on my bucket list for a good 6 or 7 years. I've had chance to do it at one camp and I bottled it because I just wasn't sure of myself. Being on the Sunday after having done the first two challenges, it felt like I could not back out of walking on the hot coals, which I nearly did chicken out. My heart was going so much. I was so full of anxiety and self-doubt, but I did it. I walked over coals 3 times and the emotion was immense. I can't believe I did it, actually. The moment just before the first time, The anxiety grew so big and I actually thought it was going to kill me. I felt so, so powerless and my heart was beating out of my chest like I was going to die. And it reminds me of how I feel when I'm about to public speak. So it's quite interesting that it's happened around this time, around the celebratory sun solstice and my mum's birthday and all that. It's such a power move. It is such a message from the universe to grow up here, basically, and have belief in myself. The only person holding me back is myself, and I am getting frustrated with the very slow growth of the podcast. And I know it's because of this. It is because I am so frightened of being perceived without the wall of the podcast editing software, without the shield of the hosting platform where I have control in editing. I make sure it's perfect and then I upload it. So I think this episode intro is giving you a little sense of how this big 1 hour 40, aka 100 minutes episode ends up going. I really do hope you enjoy it, and I know it's a big one and it might take you a few sittings to get through it. If you do love it, if you do get through, please comment below, leave ratings and reviews and let me know that you made it there. One last thing. Do you know what wood was used for the fire of the firewalk? Can you guess? It was indeed silver birch. Now, if you've heard the previous two episodes with Liz Dean, you'll have heard how silver birch was a big theme in the deck that she's designed, and also how everywhere I'm going I'm seeing silver birch, and we've been looking at silver birch wallpaper. And of all the wood in the world to create the fire for the firewalk this weekend, it was indeed silver birch. All right, universe, behave. Welcome to June. There is a lot going on in this beautiful sunny month. Midsummer, the summer solstice, the lesser Sabbat Letha, or Litha, as us Yorkshire lasses say. You have officially made it to the midpoint of the year through the first 6 months of the calendar year. And here we find ourselves in the beautiful Sabbat of Letha. The word solstice is from the Latin word solstitium, which literally translates to sun stands still. It is said that this solstice has been celebrated since ancient times by various cultures all over the world, such as the Celts and the Romans, as far back as, I don't know how to say this, hang on, 10200 BC. Or would it be 10200 BC? Yes, that sounds better. It was a time to honour the sun god Bel by lighting big-ass fires that represented abundance, vitality, powerful energy and the sun. But it wasn't only masculine celebration that was going on back then. The 21st of June were also celebrated as a day of all hearers, or Junos. And according to the Nameless Art, the month of June is known as the door of the year, through which the inner realms may be entered. This, the rune which is associated for this merry month, is Dag, the rune that represents the opening of doors and passageways. It signifies the good door, that which serves to exclude bad or harmful things entering, whilst omitting only these things that are of benefit to us. And Carna, the Roman goddess of door hinges, is revered on June the 1st, as the beginning of the month opens its door. Carna is primarily the goddess of the home and family life, who therefore guards the main entrance of the house, letting in only those who should enter and keeping out those who must not enter. I really like this because it is reminiscent of Feng Shui, which is another passion of mine. The ancient Romans honoured Vesta, goddess of hearth, And in ancient China, the summer solstice was associated with the earth element yin and femininity, complementing the winter solstice's yang energy. The Chinese celebrated with ceremonies that included offerings of food and drink to all the deities and ancestors. And the Vikings, known for their deep connection to the nature, celebrated Midsummer with feasts and fires. They believed that the solstice was a time when the veil between these worlds was thin. Not quite as thin as Beltane or Samhain, but still thin, making it a great time to talk to the spirits and divine the future. Today, Litha is a very new Sabbat in terms of history. It was created for the Wiccan Wheel of the Year in the early 20th century by Gerald Gardner. And it's easy to get confused and lost in the overlaps because Litha, as it stands on its own, is a very contemporary Sabbat. Just like Astara, it's very contemporary in its history, unlike Midsummer and the summer solstice, which our ancestors have been celebrating for millennia, as they were so plugged into the earth. It was a time to resolve disputes and make political movements, and to reconnect to the earth and their own ancestors before them. Spiritually, Litha represents the culmination of the sun god's power. He is at his strongest, the earth is lush, and the stirrings that began back in the darkness of Imolc began to quiver and emerge at Ostara and roared into life at Beltane are now here dancing in the sunlight and the warmth of abundance, joy and prosperity. Unlike most of the Sabbats in the Wheel of the Year, this one particularly focuses on the male aspect and the masculine energies in the sun god. It is similar to Beltane, but as we recall, Beltane was about balance and relationship, being equal and complementing energies, yin and yang working together. I believe this one does put the god higher than the goddess at this particular Sabbat. In the Wiccan Sabbat anyway, it is about celebrating the circle and the secular energy of the world, and is one of bittersweet paradox, as it is the sign that the sun has reached its most powerful and will now start to wane, as the moon does, but taking a lot longer to wane as we celebrate the beginning of summer. Even though it is termed midsummer, it does actually represent the start of the summertime and the abundance and the flowers and the joy of the earth alive and well and awake and loud and proud and dancing in movement and talking to the fairies. The Oak King has finished his reign and battled with his beloved brother, the Holly King, and the Holly King has taken his torch and will begin to reign for half the year until we reach the dark months in which Yuletide nestles. But I don't want to think about that. I want the summer. Yes, thank you. When I think of midsummer, I think of being outside until late in the evening, gardening, camping, being outside on the grass with my feet and connecting. All the yard fires, all the campfires, all the feasting, the ale, the mead and the honey. Growing, flourishing and thriving. We look to the sun and we see it as high as it has ever been, and it's the strongest and longest it can rain upon the earth in a day. And then there's something quite magical, I believe, at noontime. I feel a sense of the earth standing still. There's a sense of calmness as we feel the sun rays on our skin, and an abundance of gratitude that fills our souls. Our souls. Okay? Snort. Such a child. And that super duper important connection to Mother Earth, our Gaia. It is a time to connect and prepare for the harvest soon to come to us, for the gifts we will receive from Mother Gaia. I'd take a breath and experience how it feels to be living on this magical earth right now, with the sun beaming down on us, hopefully, energizing us and giving us life, force and passion and energy and joy and excitement for the here and now, not the future, but the here and the now. Yes, it is a celebratory Sabbat, but it is asking us to just be still. The growth cycle has almost completed, and there is a sense of urgency to relish what will soon retreat into the darkness as the earth steals back 1 minute at a time of the beautiful golden sun. The word Lethe apparently translates to the wheel, although a lot of scholars can't decide if this is true or merely fabricated by Wiccans of the past. And us 21st century witches and Wiccans tend to celebrate on the 21st of June in the Northern Hemisphere, or the 21st of December in the Southern Hemisphere, which is my daughter's birthday. It's so uncanny that my mother's birthday is the 20th of June and my daughter's birthday is the 21st of December. I always find that quite comical, really, that even before I was a witch, the universe was like sending me little messages in births. You've got two important birthdays that balance each other out on opposite sides of the light and darkness of the year. Maiden, Mother, Crone, Lethe, the summer solstice and midsummer are all different things that, like Beltane and May Day, have merged nowadays into some big, beautiful celebration for all, with maypoles, Morris dancers, love, sex and fire. However, a long time ago, Midsummer was actually celebrated on the 24th of June and is also known as John the Baptist's Day, a day of celebrating the birth of this sacred saint. And yes, St. John's wort, the herb, is connected to this saint. More on that herb later. Great St. John's fires would be lit in celebration and offering to the earth's abundance. And these were known as the Great Charmed Festivals. So you can see centuries of different religions celebrating an array of different deities, partying at similar times, especially when the sun stays in the sky for the longest day. It's easy to see how they could merge. I would say the biggest ritual of this Sabbat is, of course, travelling to Stonehenge, where pagans throughout the country and even the world come together at dawn around the stones, the monoliths, to witness the sun coming up over the heel stone and creating a beautiful long shadow. I read somewhere that there was a theory that the heel stone creates a phallic shadow as the sun rises, and that touches like the female presenting stone on the other side as a form of shadow symbolism to represent the act of giving life in sacred sex of all living things on the planet. And I was a bit like, what? Nah, come on now. Not everything is about sex, you Wiccans, honestly. No, I know, I'm only poking fun. A lot of stuff is about sex. However, I don't think this Sabbat is too involved with sex, because the sex has already happened in Beltane. This is about what comes after, what's being presented. The goddess is heavily pregnant and she's about to burst, bless her, any moment now, which is the harvest. Things are bursting into life, come to full term of pregnancy and abundance, and are about to harvest the fruits which have been growing all the first half of the year. What was I talking about? Oh yeah, Stonehenge. I think it's pretty amazing that National Trust open it for free because they acknowledge the weight and value it gives to pagans all over the world. I think that's incredible. And I do try and get up and watch it on live video, which is a little bit ironic because I should be outside watching it, really, but my internet doesn't stretch that far. I should be in the garden with my feet on the grass watching the sun rise in real time. Hello, Swales. I don't think I'd ever go to Stonehenge for the summer solstice. I think it's just way, way too people-y for me. So this is the sign for us northern witches listening who are nowhere near Stonehenge Don't watch it on Facebook. Watch it from your garden. The sun coming up over the horizon. Take a deep breath and spend time. Be the observer and give thanks for the here and the now. Remember, the presence is the present. Or don't even go to bed. Stay up for the shortest night, which wouldn't be too hard, making merriment with friends and colleagues and fellow witches, drinking mead and orange juice around the fire to greet the beautiful sun in the morning. This is a common ritual that some witches do actually partake in. And I suppose there were some sex in there. But be careful, don't get arrested if that's what you're going to do. Anyway, moving on. Do you fancy seeing a double sunrise for Midsummer this year? Apparently, on every summer solstice, crowds gather at the parish church of Edward the Confessor in Leek, Staffordshire, to witness the strange double sunset. From the northeast corner of the churchyard, which is known as the Doctor's Corner due to 8 doctors being buried there, the sun sinks behind Cloud End Hill, only to reappear further north a few minutes later and set for a second time. There's sometimes additional optical illusions with a mirror image of the sun following hot on the heels of the real sun below the brow of the hill. Don't you think that's just fantastic? Wow! Another European historic tradition for the summer solstice was to set ablaze a circular object that may roll. A wagon wheel or a bale of hay or a wooden wheel of some kind. It would become a sun wheel. Set it on fire and push it down the highest hill one could find. This was to represent the sun starting high, wildly aflame, and then descending down the steep hill, sometimes to a body of water where it would fall into the water and disappear, to represent the coming darkness of the months ahead. Unsurprisingly, there's a lot of fire in this Sabbat, and the ash of the fires were used in different rituals. A popular ritual from history was the blessing of the apples, in which the children of the village who grew the apples would rub the ashes into the apple tree that was currently blooming with blossoms and being pollinated by the bees. It was widely believed to repel insects and bugs that caused damage to the trees and also repel bacteria and infection that would injure the crop. And I think there is an element of ritual there as an offering to the tree that is done every year in hopes for a good harvest in the autumn to keep the nature spirits and the apple trees on side. Dancing in circles is another long-standing tradition at this time of year, especially around monoliths and stone circles, as it was thought to celebrate the sun and bring on a good harvest. According to an old legend, if you go to Broadwater near Worthing in West Sussex on Midsummer's Eve and head to an old ancient oak tree, you might see a group of skeletons come out of the ground and dance around the old tree until very first light. And 5 miles north of Broadwater, there lies a prehistoric hill named Canterbury Ring, where there's an old custom that states if you jog around this 7 times backwards, you will see Satan himself. Boo, we don't believe in the devil. Is it even a witchcraft podcast if the devil hasn't made an appearance? Honestly, he's like a blooming photo bomber. A podcast bomber. Shall we keep to the devil theme just for laughs? Once upon a time, on a pleasant midsummer evening, there was a fiddler that was hired to play an outdoor wedding feast. He kept everybody dancing until midnight, but it was then the Sabbath when the dancing was forbidden. In spite of the loud protests, he broke off and left. The slave to the riven bride demanded more music, even though she had to go to hell for it. And then, strangely enough, an old man appeared and volunteered to play on. As the fiddler watched from a handy nearby bush, the old man's music got faster and faster, but no one could stop dancing. Into the night and the early morn when the cock crowed. The old man smiled and vanished, and the poor enchanted dancers with aching feet were turned into stone. And only the original fiddler was left to tell the tale. This stone circle are known locally as the Devil's Wedding. That sounds very similar to the stone circles I spoke about last summer in my Cornwall gallivant. I got snakes as well. This is like Bellwitch. Bingo! One peculiar ancient folk tradition from parts of Wales, Cornwall and Scotland, all the Celtic nations, is that one of groups of snakes do a spot of glass blowing on Midsummer's Eve. They put their heads together and hiss all at the same time to form a big frothy bubble around one of their heads. With more hissing, the bubble would pass through the length of the snake's body and pop out of its tail as a small, solid, glassy ring. And the human who picked this up would be gifted with great riches and powers to come. I wonder if this is connected to the orb that we spoke about on Ben's interview a few episodes ago. We was talking about Welsh folklore and this snake orb. And we were like, where is it now? These snake stones do actually exist. They are, in fact, a naturally occurring object that are typically made from flint. I'm going to have to search this. Okay, it keeps coming up with ammonites, and I don't think that's the same thing. Another folklore icon associated with Midsummer and the summer solstice is Selkies, enchanted lady seals. Love it. Incidentally, Selkies also featured in Liz Dean's new tarot deck too. Lots of coincidences here. These Selkies come out of their enchanted seal skins for the shortest night of the year and are able to enjoy an evening of dark and dance with their fellow witches on the northern beaches of the far Shetlands, hopefully in complete privacy and without nosy humans, aka annoying men that steal the skin to entrap them forever. Boo, patriarchy! Definitely Bellwitch bingo here. Correspondences with this beautiful sabbat in terms of nature are all the flowers, whatever is in bloom. Roses, especially yellow ones, which I can see from my window as a podcast. I keep glancing at them and they look so vibrant in the dusk. Big poppies. Cornflower, all the witchy herbs, rosemary, mugwort, thyme, the beautiful big oak tree, and also the holly that can be known to grow up the oak tree as a parasite plant. And this is the season when the holly really takes off and can grow up oak trees. And a lot of gardeners, this is the moment when they start to strip back the holly and the ivy because it's going mad. It's ideal to take it off before it chokes a tree. And I find that so interesting, considering when we've got the story of the Oak King and the Holly King. I love that. The cherries are just coming into fruition, along with the beautiful strawberries. And the elderflower is perfect for picking right now if you're going to make yourself some refreshing cordial, which I have at my side right now. It's best to be picked on a gorgeous sunny morning, ensuring that the pollen is at its highest because the sun is warming up the flowers. The one I'm drinking here now is actually a little go at elderflower champagne using the cold fermentation method, which does take a little bit of time, but I am really relishing this new patience thing that I'm learning with things taking time. Very apt for the moment we're speaking about, which is a summer solstice and when the sun stands still. How do you do this? Well, I'm going to tell you. Get yourself a few bunches of the elderflower, preferably from different trees and not just one. Asking for permission as you take them, giving thanks when you do. Wash them, put them in a bowl or a bucket with cold water, with a bit of sugar and lots of lemon and stir it for a few days until it starts to become cloudy and truly smells divine. Keep it out of direct sunlight and then cheesecloth it into a jug or a bottle and put it in the fridge. The fermentation makes it taste a little bit champagne-y and a little bit fizzy. It is refreshing and quite bitter, as you would expect. You can add a bit of honey or a bit of sugar to sweeten it up a little bit. Or you can mix it with tonic water, soda water, or even lemonade for a refreshing summer drink. It tastes so lovely with an extra squirt of lemon to represent the sun and a few ice cubes and a couple of edible flowers floating in the top. Oh yeah, that sounds so delish. I absolutely love the elder tree. I see it so often on my school run around my neighbourhood. It fills the air with scent. An easy to identify flower tree bush. You can use it in all sorts of cool stuff like baking, foods. And the essence of elder to me feels quite masculine and quite wise and old and willing to share knowledge and wisdom with you if you give it time. It feels like a tree that wants to be part of our magic, like in the old ways, not service to us, but wants to be a companion to us. And one of the old traditions is to make garlands from blooming foliage, such as the lovely elder, for your doorways and your hearths. Wreaths for the door also because of the circle nature. And one of the best herbs to work with at this time is the good old witch's friend, Saint John's Wort, a fiercely protective golden bloom associated with fire. It is known to protect the home against lightning, fires and severe storms. And it was commonplace to burn the herb in the fireplace or the cauldron on Midsummer's evening that was picked in the morning to assure safety throughout the darker half of the year. There is an older ritual where any woman who is anxious about conceiving can walk through a vegetable garden sky-clad with St. John's wort growing on a Midsummer's Eve, find some St. John's, pluck the herb and hold it against the heart. Beautiful. A word of caution, as it is said that St. John's wort on this night can uproot and take a walk around the field to avoid being overly picked on this very short evening. However, once it is tracked down, maidens can add it to beautiful wreaths and garlands with its neighbouring herbs such as yarrow, corn, marigold, mugwort, plantain is a big one, ivy, and the beautiful, delicate blooms of elder, ensuring that they are picked at the very first light of the longest day and secured tightly in a wreath, ensuring that the next 6 months will be safe and secure and your harvest will be good. Herb work is great this time of year because everything's maxing out. I know my lemon balm is huge and I need to severely cut it back and use the gorgeous leaves as offerings in cauldrons or to make tea with. Lemon being yellow, being representative of the sun. Honey is also a good thing to use this time of year as an offering because honey, again, the sun and the bees which make it are abundant and hopefully buzzing around, carrying on the tradition of helping the flowers grow. Tiny little things you can do as a busy 21st century witch and magical being. Sun worship, one of my favourites. Treat the sun as you would the moon. I mean, I do this anyway because I'm such a sun witch, but talk to the sun, spend time with it, put water and some crystals out in it to charge up the sun's energy. Be safe in the sun. Put your sun cream on, yeah? Still works with sun cream. Use your shadows as a sort of art ritual where see if you can draw around the shadow of the plant as the sun moves and see if you can capture that movement as the sun reaches its highest point in the sky and then begins its descent. Dance clockwise, which is Diosil and not Widdershins. Ooh, I've got a witch tip for you. Diosil, which is clockwise, begins with D as opposed to the other one, which is anti-clockwise, begins with a W and D comes before W. And that's how I remember which is which, because it is hard to keep it in your bonds. You can drink herbal teas such as lemon balm and marigolds, and lavender is out as well. You can add the gorgeous honey to it and stir diacel. Speaking out gratitudes for this moment in the glorious sunshine and hopes for the dark half of the year. Perhaps do a little ritual with the flame and connect with the element of fire. See if you can do a little bit of fire divination where you relax your eyes, staring at a fire pit or a candle. See what comes in, see if you get any messages from the abyss. Work with the ashes from the fires that are now completed to represent the now beginning waning sun, so you can use your ashes to make powerful protective black salt to capture the summer solstice vibes. You could put them into effigies or talisman to work with for the dark half of the year. And this is about capturing the positive high energy moment of the powerful solstice sun. This is a great time to complete projects that you've been working with since the new year. And it's also the best time to begin forest bathing. If anybody does this, we'll tell you how transformative it really is. Walking through the woods with no earphones on, taking in, bathing in the sounds and the smells and the light and the plants and everything that's in bloom and everything that's offering a feast for your eyes to glance upon, and sitting with your back against a tree, any tree, whatever tree you're drawn to. If you want to be particularly a solstice-y, you could pick a big, beautiful, wise oak. Sit with your spine up against the trunk of the tree. Take a few deep breaths into your stomach, the root and the sacral chakras. Think about the mighty solar plexus and see what your gut is telling you. Connect with that yellow energy of your gut. It is your most loyal ally, helping you to connect with your instincts, your intuition, and your gut feelings. See if you can plug in to the tree, ask it for help to connect your mind to your sacral and your solar plexus. The tree would absolutely love to help you with this. See what comes in your mind, see if you can connect with the spirit of the tree. Maybe there's a fairy hanging around the tree. See what you get, try not to rush, try and capture that solstice moment of midday when the sun stands still. Calm your busy mind and get your essence to stand still with the tree and see what comes in, and then journal about it. See the fabulous messages that nature can give us. So joyful, I love it. And if you have the time, please take a little bit of litter home with you as an offering to the beautiful woods and the humble trees that helped you with your meditation. Colours associated with this time are pretty obvious. It's all gold, yellows, oranges, greens, and the tarot card is indeed the sun. The Hierophant, the Emperor, I would go as far as to say even the lovers. Connect with your fellow witches, try and come together, find a community where you're loved and held, and enjoy this joyous time of the summer solstice. Have a blessed, magical midsummer. And now for the 3-year, 100 episode reflection of the Bell Witch podcast. Feel free to take a pause here. Grab yourself a nice, refreshing beverage. Nourish yourself, because this is going to be a beastie episode. It was only in 2022 I discovered podcasts. I'd been living under a rock until this point. On the podcast front, somebody recommended I went and had a listen to Uncanny, which opened up a world of audio information I had no idea even existed. I was mostly a musical listener at that point. The stars aligned because I was in the right communities, I was doing the artist's way and writing poetry and being generally open to creativity. Big love and shout out to Hannah Joy Graves of Cult Mother Tarot. Her community brought so many gifts to me and still does. I had found a small but mighty witchcraft community and made a friend who I'd go around every week, sit on a sofa and talk about witchcraft and how awesome it is and how people do witchcraft and they don't even know it. My mental health was healing and I was becoming happy and I couldn't quite believe that I'd made it to a life where actually my happiness is here. It's like it was hiding behind the sofa all along and I just hadn't noticed it, waiting for me all this time, and witchcraft, I believe, unlocked that for me. And then around Christmas of 22, I was so inspired by absolutely everything. And I still am, really. I was binging all kinds of podcasts on all kinds of topics. And then a lightning bolt hit my little bonce. I had to get a sound effect in there. I started thinking, I want to get involved with this. I would like to start a podcast about just how awesome and life-changing witchcraft really is. But it'll have to be with a friend, because how can you talk to yourself for an hour? And then cue the overwhelm. I remember the overwhelm. But unlike many, many, many moments before, I had all these tools, so I didn't let it put me off. Luckily, I had a friend called Jodie who was very interested in the same thing. And the very first episode of the Bellwitch podcast was created and dropped in March 2023 after a good few weeks of deciding what to do and how to do it, how even to do this thing. I remember the very first recording. It was so awkward. It was really hard. We were on Zoom, not really knowing what to say. I remember my heart being really fast and being a little bit like, gosh, I don't know if I can do this. And then the editing. How does one edit a podcast? I read books and watched YouTube videos and learned little hints and tips at snail's pace. The very first episode, which is only 20 minutes, took me 8 or 9 hours, in all honesty. It is a terribly edited episode and it is very random, but it is fun. And it does capture the essence of the pod, I believe. We didn't even have a microphone for the first ever episode. We just did it. And then the moment to upload it was such a leap, an absolute leap. It was so bizarre. I remember hovering over the upload button on what was Anchor at the time, which is like a Spotify platform, thinking, am I really going to do this? Am I really going to be perceived, my voice, which I hate, and we don't know what we're talking about, and are people going to judge us? Something in me just said, let's go, and I hit it. And I think we had one download in like the first day. And that moment, it was incredible. It's like, my God, somebody's listened to us. It was probably Jodie's mum or something, but by the end of the week, I think we'd had 40 downloads and I were buzzing from it. And a lot of them was me listening back to it and critiquing what I'd done. So I remember thinking, oh, the background music has gone on too long and it's really distracting, so I won't do that again. And it needs to be longer and we need to not say this and the gaps are too long. Quickly invested in a pair of gamer headphones with a terrible mic that was very poppy. But I think I became reasonably good quite fast at listening back, as if to be a consumer and not an editor, listening as somebody for the first time. Because even now when I upload from when I've edited, listening to it on the platform, it does sound a bit different. So I found myself getting a notebook and writing a list of how we could improve. We need to pin down a structure of who's going to talk about this and that and the topics we're going to cover. We did plan out the first 10 weeks. So we did mother, maiden, crone. And the mother one was probably the most fun because we were both mothers. We're both mothers and we had a lot to say about that. Whereas the maiden was good, but the crone, I think, was a bit more challenging because we didn't know many at the time and society doesn't really value women of a certain age. And I was quite opinionated on that, I think. And then the four elements in the right order of the tarot cards. So that was fire, water, air and earth. I had been researching music and where to find stuff I'm allowed to use. I discovered this fabulous composer on a place called Pixabay, which is license-free music that composers create simply for the love of creating music and sharing it. There's this one particular dude that I absolutely adore, and he's Jeff Harvey, and all his stuff is really whimsical and quite theatrical, a little bit Hollywood, as in like feature filmish. And very helpfully, the names that he gives them make massive sense to me, and I feel really captured the vibration and the feel of the tunes he creates. And when I listen to them, my mind plays out a scene that's complementary to what he's named the tune. So that's really helpful for me and my dyslexic brain. The well-loved intro music of the Bell Witch podcast is Jeff Harvey's tune. I absolutely love it so much, and it is called Before the Sky Sheds a Tear. How beautiful is that? And luckily, I found it really early so I could put it on the first main episode and cement it. And it'll always be there, I think, because I absolutely adore that piece of music. It'll never leave. Even the background musics I use are mostly Jeff's, so shout out to Jeff Harvey of Pixabay. To begin with, we were going to focus on witchcraft with children because at the time our kids were quite small and our life both revolved around being witchy with kids. But it became apparent to me quite early on that it felt a little bit discriminating and a little bit excluding people who were witches and didn't have kids. And I didn't like that. I wanted it to be accessible and helpful and celebratory. Things became really clear and apparent early on in the first 10 episodes. The fact that I was way more invested because I was doing the editing and the scheduling. And Jodie had a busy life and she worked really hard and she was a single parent at the time. And so the podcast wasn't high on her priorities because life. During the water episode, we'd forgotten to discuss something. And so I slotted it on the end of that episode. Me talking about my water birth and then realising, oh, I spoke for a good 10 minutes there on my own, so it is achievable. And I was being brave in the sense of writing my own poetry and sharing my poetry on the episodes, which was massive at the time, and I'm so glad I did it. I remember I used to swim almost every day back then, which I need to get back into again. And there's something about being in the water underneath with your goggles on, swimming underneath like a mermaid, I'd have this download of ideas that I could talk about on the podcast. And they were just so vast and quick. And I was like scribbling on soggy bits of paper on the side of the pool, poetry and the things I wanted to cover in the upcoming episodes. And it had an impact on my everyday life, my witchy life, my communal life, my relationships with my friends, even my own voice, the tone of my voice and my very strong accent, and how I started valuing it and I started forgiving myself for mistakes and thinking to myself, I don't sound that bad, you know. I sound all right. The impact was massive. I started to notice what I said, how I spoke, how sometimes I get flustered and my words won't come out. How when I use my hands, I speak better. How standing up versus sitting down to talk in a microphone is so different. How I waste time. How I could be talking about something so valuable and people get to hear it because I'm going to record it. And I think I understood quite early on that it isn't for everybody. I'm not for everybody. The podcast won't sit right with a lot of people because it really is personal. But I can't really make it any other way because that's the kind of person I am. For it to come into fruition and be meaningful and to carry on, it has to be a good reflection of me as a person and not just me doing all the research and simply talking research, reading loads of facts and not adding anything else. Like, to me, that would be boring. And as a consumer, I do tend to prefer podcasts that are more fun and a bit silly, and, you know, the host talks about their own life a little bit. Like, I like that. I need that human aspect of the podcasting world. And a really big one, how these things impact other people for the better. And the couple of messages I got in the early days going, oh my word, I've just found you. I know you're brand new, you know, welcome. And other podcasts reaching out, particularly the Eye Opener Society, Gary and Hannah. They found me really early and they were so, so supportive. Amazing. That feeling of being found, being influential and being looked up to, it was such a nice feeling. I really liked the feeling. Then this community started to emerge of other podcasts, not so much witchy ones, but podcasts about true crime and ghost stories and folklore, spooky stuff, non-mainstream spirituality. All these little podcasts started to connect with me and we'd all kind of started around the same time. So Mortal Musings, they connected with me, and The Free Ravens was another one, and Haunted UK podcast. I was also a bit stalky and messaging people on Instagram saying, like, I love your podcast. I've just discovered you. I look up to you. Let me support you. Let's support each other. And they were wonderful. The community is so vibrant with independent podcasters. So it's like I'd opened a secret door to all this cool stuff all over the world. And I just wanted to be part of it. It's so beautiful. I was so alive. My soul was most alive it had ever been. And I fell deeply in love with podcasting. Episode 7 was the Earth Element. And this was the very, very first interview we did. And again, listener, the nerves of interviewing somebody, it really shook me. And I didn't do much at all, to be fair. Jodie took the reins on that one. And I listened in, sort of wanting to speak, but my brain just going blank and not knowing how to interact. And then something very interesting happened on episode 9, which is the essence of camping. This is the very first solitary witch episode I ever did. It is a 45-minute episode, and uploading that particular episode, because of course it was very dear to my heart, it was about camping, the people I'd met on these grassroots camps and how they also opened up doors for me. The reason the Bell Witch is called the Bell Witch podcast was because I'd bought a bell tent after going to my first communal women's only camp where everybody was springing up beautiful bell tents and they were so witchy and very quick and easy to erect as somebody who had two very small children at the time and tended to camp without the husband in tow because he had work. I needed a tent that I could pop up relatively quick with not much equipment, and the bell tent meets all this criteria. So I got a bell tent and then we were bell witches camping together with lots of magical people at pagan festivals, and that is why it's called the Bell Witch podcast. I've got to say, there is also a bit of a tongue-in-cheek reference to the Blair Witch Project. And even now, a lot of people still say the Bell Witch Project, which as an elder millennial, I really don't mind. The Bell Witch podcast is nothing to do with the Bell Witch of America, the haunting, which is quite famous. I knew nout about this witch when I chose the name, when a few American podcasters messaged me going, oh, is it about the Bell Witch haunting? Oh no, is that a thing? Oh my God. It's not even about a witch. It's more like a poltergeist story, which I will cover at some point just for jokes. But I remember being like, what am I going to do now? I suppose I could do a U-turn and name the Bell Witch something else. And I think Jodie was on board with that. But I was like, no, because I really like the Bell Witch and it's got a really gorgeous story behind the name. I'm just going to run with it. And that's when I first did the trailer at this point, which is a tongue-in-cheek trailer pretending to be about the Bell Witch haunting, which is a bit of a joke. And then there's a record scratch where I go, actually, no, that's the wrong Bell Witch. I really, I love it. I'm going to keep keep it forever. I'm going to plonk it here so you can hear it.
Welcome to the Bellwitch Podcast, a show that covers the infamous legend of the historic Bellwitch haunting in southern United States in the 19th century, where the Bell family experienced frightening happenings within their home. Hang on a second. No, that's the wrong Bellwitch. This is a podcast about being a witchy pagan in the 21st century, airing bi-weekly, with different guests on each month sharing their pearls of wisdom and gems of knowledge from their very own witchy businesses. I call it a moot loot. Here we cover a wide range of pagan and witchcraft related topics, from sigils, spells and spirits to Reiki rituals and pagan parenting while camping in the Bell tent named Delilah. It's got nothing to do with the Bell Witch from the 19th century in Tennessee that scared people to death in a little townhouse, which may or may not be true. Pretty cool story, but yeah, it's the wrong Bell Witch. This Bell Witch podcast is brought to you by Swales, the friendly green witch from Leeds, UK. A northern witch with a strong Yorkshire accent, a love of all things weird, spooky, magical, and a smelly dragon named Dave. So tune in every 2 weeks for a sprinkling of Yorkshire magic. Listen to the Bell Witch podcast with me, Swales, a friendly green witch, wherever you get your podcasts. Episode 10 saw Beverly Thornton being interviewed by us about witchcraft, hags and slags movement of the past. It was a really good interview, and I remember, so I did the interview, which was all right because Beverly is my friend and I felt comfortable and it flowed really easily. I'm proud of that episode because I think I achieved something I was quite scared of up until this point. And not only that, I'd been doing lots of online training by this point and was repeatedly told in this training that many podcasters just don't make it to episode 10 because it is so hard to keep going when you're just not being found and the download numbers are crap and people lose heart. This is known as Pod Fade. So that was a celebratory episode in the fact that, oh my word, we've made it to episode 10, which is really hard to do as a new podcast. And I'm here, still loving it. This was August of 23, so we'd been going nearly 6 months. I've got to be honest, our friendship was deteriorating. We were drifting as people do in life. We were disagreeing quite harshly about what we could put in the podcast because we were so different in terms of witchcraft and paganism and looking after the earth. And so some stuff didn't make it into the episode and it became really apparent that it just wasn't working for us anymore. And I was doing all of the work, I was attending the workshops, I was brushing up on skills, I was listening to the podcasts and figuring out what makes them a good podcast, reading all the books and just becoming absolutely obsessed, I was. And I still am. However, my co-host was not feeling quite so passionate about the art of podcasting. And there's no bad blood, we just wanted to do different things. And so the decision was made to become a solo podcaster, which is very common from what I hear. Other podcasts start as a duo and one gets obsessed and the other one goes and does other things, which is just how it goes. And I'm so glad I started it with her because in all honesty, I don't think it would have been here without a co-host. I needed that springboard to start the Bell Witch podcast. And so I really do wish her well and I thank her for the support in the beginning. So at this point, I have 2 weeks where I brainstorm the heck out of what exactly I want from the Bell Witch podcast, the direction, the overall idea. And I change a few things, such as the tagline becomes witching in the 21st century, meaning it's invitation to all magical folks and not just parents. I change the art, I make the logo more defined. I try and hint that it's a wax seal with an old school symbol of a mic in the middle of the pentacle. And I constructed this all on my own with Canva. I changed the cover art to a picture of me by Beverly Thornton, which I thought was beautiful, but swiftly got told that it's not ideal. Nobody really cares about your face because nobody knows who you are because nobody's invested yet. It was too dark. It didn't stand out. It needed to be more unusual and quite vibrant. to jump out amongst the dark array of witchcraft cover art that was there at the time and communicate, you know, the lightness of the podcast and the fact that I am quite a silly witch. And because I didn't know any better then, oh, here we go, I used Bing images to create the colourful witch that was there for a good 2 or 3 years and then slowly began to hate it as I researched and found how crap AI actually is in general. For everybody and everything in the whole world, don't get me on my soapbox. But I'm sorry, I didn't know any better. Episode 11 was a turning point for me where I spoke about manifesting and where the podcast is going to go. And I think it was at this point I decided to do solitary witch episode and moot loot episodes. I don't know where the names came from, just as I don't really know where the tagline came from. They just kind of came about in my psyche automatically. I can't remember sitting down and thinking about it. It's like they just turned up. I interviewed my lovely friend Louise Bloomer, who is my tutor, fabulous witch inspiration. And Louise was talking to people about the podcast and then people were getting in contact with me about collabing on the podcast. Bought myself a very sweet little tabletop mic and had a go at going to somebody's house and recording a October special, chatting about all spooky stuff and Samhain in Louise's kitchen with Lily Rivers. And that was a learning curve in terms of editing because it was all on one track. So when you record with people online, you get two tracks and you can edit them together. And when people talk over each other, you should be able to get rid of that. But when it's on one track, there's nothing you can do about it. You just gotta suck it up, buttercup. And then I noticed, as I lived my life and experienced this beautiful witchy life, it was like a knock-on effect. I'd come up with ideas for episodes from strange places and amazing conversations and communal events. I can't believe it, but I didn't plan anything. It all just came to me out of the atmosphere. Volunteering at Witchfest and winning the Sacks made an amazing episode. I was combining podcasting with Reiki. So I was Reikiing the microphone and the computer. And then comes another turning point in the podcast. And this was the tree meditation episode. I had actually tried to record my own meditation maybe a year or two before this as homework for witch school. And I can remember I hated every single bit of it and it sounded horrible and bleh. So this was a big deal that I could now have the opportunity to create a meditation that may be valuable for other people. I sat down and I scripted it and I reluctantly published it and then I got feedback and it became my most downloaded episode. And it was shortly after I did a little bonus episode about the poor sycamore tree that got cut down. And I think all those things aligned. Trees have always been really important to me, as you know, if you listen to the podcast. But then in the new year of 24, I released an episode that really tested me, that really brought me into my own. It was a huge, personal, poignant episode. And that was number 21, My Psychic Mum. I nearly didn't post it. I almost chickened out. It was so raw and so personal. I had to think to myself, do I really want to put this out? Do I really want to share my history and my very cherished memories of my dear mum? The answer was yes, and I'm glad I did. And this episode was the one that got me into the spiritual charts. I got into the top 50 on Spotify, which is really hard. I was getting 200 downloads a week, which was magnificent for the time. I wasn't obsessing so much about numbers as I do now, and it all just went a bit wild. It's almost like it grew wings and started to flap around a little bit and people were noticing the flapping. And I started getting a following and people started messaging me on social media asking to come on. So I had a little queue forming of guests and not just British guests. There were international guests wanting to come on and that felt absolutely wonderful. I started scripting a little bit and being serious about research. As up until this point, I have been winging it. I had been flying by the seat of my pants. I had been making it up on the spot with a tiny bit of research. Interviews came naturally and flowed easily, and I didn't even have, dare I say it, any questions prepared, which fills me with absolute horror that I used to interview people and not have any questions planned. Like, what the fuck? Who does that, for blooming God's sake? And there was one interview that made me realise that I needed to do better as a host and an interviewer when I didn't have anything planned because I was just so sure it were going to roll like the rest of them had rolled. And it actually was a really hard interview to get through because I just wasn't prepared. And I learnt a lot that day. I'm not going to mention what interview it is because I don't think you can tell as an editor because I'm such a good editor. But I learnt a lot. That was another steep learning curve. Like, I need to get serious about this gig, for God's sake. And the podcast was always on my mind. I would visit places and experience cool things and wonder about what my listener would think of this place, the witchcraft behind the sea, places, the folklore behind the flowers. It opened up such a world of wonder and looking at stuff through the eyes of a child, as they say, when you open up to wonder and really seeing stuff for the first time again. It was amazing. I wonder if there's any magic in this. I wonder if I could get a podcast out of that. And it was a really beautiful place to be, and it still is. It was as if everything I noticed became an omen and then became a possible topic for the next episode. The folklore of forget-me-nots, I started becoming really interested in folklore stories behind the flowers that I notice on the school run. I had a notebook and I'd write little ditties to myself wherever I was. I got a merchant account and started creating Bellwitch merchandise and buying it for myself because nobody else was. Walking around with a Bellwitch t-shirt was the highlight of my year in 2024. And I think mid-24, towards the end, I became one of those really annoying podcasters that go around going, Ian, I've got a podcast, here's my leaflet. Do you want to come on? Do you want to be a guest? Will you listen? Will you download? Will you message me? Will you rate me? Will you review me? I think during this time, like, my in-laws generally avoided me because they were so sick of hearing about it and they just weren't interested. And then something very strange happened where my online podcast presence began to merge with my everyday living. I'd go to witch stuff and people would recognise my voice and be like, oh my word, are you the Bell Witch? I've just been listening to you in the car. Okay, I'm just going to say my ego loves this because I'm feeling confident and I'm feeling the healing within myself, and remember, I'm valuing myself because of the podcast. At the end of 2024, I've got myself a Patreon in hope to make a little bit of funding from the podcast that I'm spending so much time working on. And I open up a Discord channel in hope that the Patreon members will come along and talk to me direct. And a few of them did and still do. I do have a little Discord channel open to anybody who would like to join me on it. It's quite lovely, actually, to have direct conversation that's not on Meta. I find myself working every evening, editing, researching, writing bits and bobs up until 12 o'clock midnight, 1 a.m. The husband's getting neglected, but he doesn't complain because he knows I am so happy when I'm doing anything to do with the Bellwitch podcast. I've made it to nearly 50 episodes and discovered an array of awards and shows celebrating podcasters and independent podcasts. I apply for the Women in Podcast Awards, feeling like I've got this in the bag, and getting the dreaded email a few weeks later saying my application was unsuccessful and I wasn't shortlisted for the award. I didn't take it well. Gutted! However, reflecting back at the time and looking at the people who did get nominated and went on to win, they were all like from the BBC and stuff, so I figured out pretty quickly I didn't have a chance in hell. Never mind. I'm lucky enough to win a couple of smaller independent awards. Online ones, like virtual ones, won being Pagans of the North Spotlight Award for the podcast of the year, and the other one being the Hub Hopper Award, which I'm immensely proud of because this is an American award by PodSqueeze, and I was up against a tech podcast and a well-established veteran podcast. Winning the best documentary and getting some free editing software for a year. So that was pretty good. And that managed to overturn the disappointment from the first awards that I didn't get in. In 2025, I applied to the Independent Podcast Awards and got shortlisted for the Best Lifestyle Podcast. And in October, went down to London, didn't win the one or two I entered, but I had such an amazing night because it was so posh and I got wined and dined. And I met some of the beautiful podcasters that had been supporting me from the beginning. The judges gave me quite good feedback about what was the original colourful witch AI generated logo. It confirmed that you could tell it were AI generated and I should change that. And the music needed some writing and some singing, which I did, unfortunately. And every so often I put it in just for jokes because I just can't take myself too seriously. That was good. And I have done a lot of stuff off the back of that feedback. And then began the obsession. All I want to do is win a trophy, which sometimes I question because we know we don't do this for trophies, but they do help. They do. And I don't need to win loads. I just need to win one that'll do me. I made the discovery that there's actually podcast festivals all over the world, and Blighty does have one or two. Earlier in 2025, I was lucky enough to get gifted a ticket to go visit the podcast show in London, which was all about the business of podcasting, which is where I met a fellow podcaster and tried my hand at going on somebody else's podcast that isn't about witchcraft. And that is the Impro Pod, where the host creates a piece of music on the keyboard inspired by the stories of his guests. Such a cool concept. Which was also a big stepping stone for me. I'd had such a barrier against visiting other people's podcasts. And I guess that's because as a host and a creator, you are in control of the podcast. You decide what goes on and if it sounds good or not. When you go on other people's shows, you're handing over them reins and saying, okay, I'm trusting you with this and I want you to make sure I sound like I know what I'm talking about. But it's handy to do that as a host because you need to view it and feel it from the side of a guest as well as a host, and it was hugely beneficial to do that. And even more of a grand realization from doing it that, wow, I am really honored to be trusted with my guests' stories and life experiences, not to mess about with them or bend them to some kind of narrative that isn't there or use them in a negative way. I sincerely hope that all my guests feel valued and listened to, respected and safe to tell me these things and to give me this content for the Bell Witch. Every day I do an interview, I'm just so honoured. I feel so special that they've chosen me to come on and share their pearls of wisdom and gems of knowledge in a Mootloo episode. People whose names I know really well from my teenage years and my young life with my mum who collect tarot cards. Like, that's amazing that I'm respected and trusted enough to host and conduct an interview with these very important people of the spirituality and witchcraft scenes. And I'll go to Waterstones and see the names of people who have written books and be like, I know them. I've interviewed them. Back to London. I didn't enjoy it because it was so businessy and not all about independent podcasting. The BBC were there. They were talking about huge teams of editors, researchers and scripters and the money that can be made. And in my mind, making it not very personal at all. Podcasting for me is about listening to the individual that nobody really listens to because nobody knows about because there's not loads of money fueling it. There's such a beautiful essence to podcasting, like traditional podcasting, which is audio only, which is created by independents like myself at home. for the sheer joy, love and authenticity of it. And I get so many emails from people saying, I've just found your podcast. I am an editor. I am this, I am that. I am a social media expert. Please employ me to take all this off you and I'll do it for you and you can pay me. And I'm just like, what? Why do you think I make a podcast? Like, what is the point? Plowing money to somebody to do the job and then put it out. Like, to me, that just baffles me. The whole point for me of podcasting is the magic of creating it and making those very important connections, humanizing digital content, long form content where people are choosing not to scroll, not to consume throwaway content in the form of quick rubbish scrolling that has no value whatsoever because people can't remember the last 5 videos they've watched on TikTok because they're too busy looking forward to the next scroll. It's just like junk food to me. It's like audio junk food. And don't get me started on AI voices and AI podcast creation because what the heck? What is the point of creating something that you didn't actually create? I just don't get it. I never will. The listeners who choose to spend time with the Bellwitch podcast, either while driving or doing house chores, washing up, or just sitting down, relaxing with a brew, with half an hour to an hour of a creator talking directly to them, the lovely listener. It's like choosing to sit down at a right posh meal and savouring a very good wine, sharing information that'll benefit their life or bring them joy or make them laugh, whatever you want. Not only is there a crystal for that, there is absolutely a podcast for that too. The Bellwitch podcast joins a network, the Darkcast Network, at the end of 2024 and spends a good year celebrating each other with fellow podcasts throughout the land. And we play each other's trailers on every episode, meaning that our audience is starting to grow. I've always thought this quite important in podcasting. We lift each other up. We are not in competition with each other. There is so many podcast listeners. And capitalism pitches us against each other. There's loads and loads of success and it's not pie and it doesn't need sharing out. That's why I make such a big emphasis on supporting other podcasts. When new witchcraft ones pop up, I'll directly message them and ask them if they want any help and welcome them to the witchcraft community and get them to send me a trailer because I will absolutely play it and I'll absolutely toot you. And if I'm honest, I didn't really feel like that when I joined and I were looking for help. Some of the witchcraft community podcasters didn't really want to touch me with a barge pole. I guess they were a bit threatened by yet another witchcraft podcast turning up, which I think is a right shame because it would have been really lovely to have had a podcast take me under the wing and go, well, this is how it's going to go, or this will help loads. There's this tip and there's that tip. And there's the old saying, to see the change, be the change, and so I strive to be that change. The Eye Opener Society were doing this really cool thing where they were uploading other people's podcasts to their feed that was all around spirituality, and I thought, my God, that is an amazing thing to do. So I started to look to do that too, and I looked around locally for people who have businesses such as the Yorkshire Ghost Tours and how I can support them. I interviewed them, yes, and then I also got them to send me a WhatsApp voice note, which incidentally becomes an MP3, and then I can flex my editing skills on other voices and create a bonus content episode from their little soundbite, and also they get some limelight then as well. It's like an interactive advert. And I love the idea of sharing the feed with other creatives. It keeps it fresh as a daisy and it builds the community, which I am so passionate about. Shout out to fellow ghosty lover, Spindleshanks McScrew, who tells us Bellwitch listeners the most frightful, dark and spooky ghost stories once a month, complete with funny sound effects and screams. I absolutely love editing. I love editing as well as recording, as well as uploading. They're all quite equal, I think, but editing, I can get lost in it for ages and ages. Wouldn't it be amazing if I could actually get paid for editing? What a wild dream. Flossie came on and did an episode of her own story from her own little mind. And that was a beautiful thing to edit as well. And I added all the sound effects and stuff. It's one of my favourites. And in the summer of 2025, I finally break out of my comfort zone and become guests on fellow witchy podcasts. Up until this point, I'd kind of dotted around a few ghosty ones, one or two unusual ones that weren't witchcraft based. And I noticed I had a definite issue with appearing on other witchy podcasts, and that needed to be dealt with because I couldn't continue avoiding these ones. And so last summer became an opportunity to connect with other fellow witchy podcasts and appear as a guest on magical podcasts such as Embracing Enchantment, Sacred Spirit Sessions, Pagan Portals, and finally getting myself on the Eye Opener Society, which were the one that's been running beside me all this time. Meanwhile, the podcast pal circle is growing no end and I'm meeting friends all over the shop. Mindcake Podcast, The Spooky Shed, Paranormal or What Podcast with Michaela, who I met in real life, might I add, and going to an actual podcast studio and recording with Craig of Disciples of Truth as a guest, which was an incredible experience. I was so blown away by his podcast studio space. It was so impressive. And that also meant I did my first ever video podcast with him, which again was a massive improvement for me and a huge thing in terms of being seen on camera. Still makes me squirm a bit. The way I were podcasting was also evolving. I was upgrading my microphone setup, enhancing the Bellwitch sound and attempting to sound more professional, like studio quality. We had designed a podcast / witchy room complete with foam studio booth, you know, with all the little pyramids on the foam boards, ensuring that there is no echo, echo, echo. And began standing up to podcasts, which I absolutely love because it means I've got the freedom to dance about and get rid of the anxiety and move my hands and flap about like a witch possessed. I found myself investing more and more money in podcasting, moving hosts again and again, which unfortunately means I lost my analytics, so I'll never really know how many downloads I have, because every time you move, you start counting again. Beginning on Anchor, which was Spotify, learning quite quickly that everything you put on Spotify, they own because it's free. And if anything is free, it is because you are the product. So I moved from there to Zencastr, which I was there for quite a long time, and I liked Zencastr. But it became dodgy on the PC. My blinky PC couldn't deal with the RAM space that Zencastr needed as primarily a video podcasting host. I jumped over to Captive FM, which was a British hosting platform that I'd met at the podcast show a few months before. Wasn't really sold on them either. Was also looking for a new network. Mortal Musings told me about the Black Cat Network, put dynamic ads in, and then lo and behold, oh my gosh, I am making a tiny bit of passive income from dynamic adverts, which turned up at the end of 2025, because I just can't keep ploughing money into my passion and not getting any funds back. Unfortunately, this meant I had to say goodbye to the Darkcast Network, and I had to think long and hard about this because I really liked being part of it, although it was a bit questionable the amount of generative AI they were using, and I couldn't really carry on being with them without feeling like a massive, massive hypocrite. So I left them with love at the end of 2025. At the beginning of 2026, there came another leap for the podcast. I started to see a vast pattern in download numbers for particular episodes. And the pattern was interesting because the most downloaded episodes became my solitary witch episodes that begin with a folklore story created by myself. I started to really think about the guests that I wanted on the show, because I had such a big waiting list now at the beginning of 26. I was getting really quite anxious. And I think I were on a lot of lists because I was getting a lot of AI-generated round-robin emails from all kinds of strange people who wanted to come on and talk about VRs and Jesus Christ and strange spirituality, which didn't align with the contemporary witchcraft movement and the essence of the Bell Witch podcast. In the early spring, I applied for a grant from Podground. I didn't get it. However, one of the judges was very impressed with my content and wanted to Zoom call with me and talk about the future of the Bell Witch. This was another flagship moment in my life because I'd started to feel a bit different about the podcasting world and the way I was working on the show. I wanted to be taken a bit more seriously and I wanted to talk about things that required me to be a bit more serious. Hence Catherine's interview, which was all about the matriarchy and the patriarchy and the depressive state of the world. Because we're living in really dark, challenging times currently with the state of the world and the wars and the genocide and witchcraft. It is political and it would be so unfair of me to just avoid the politics of the world, because as witches, we have a history of being marginalised and hurt for being a certain person. Our history has seen people being accused of witchcraft and killed for it. We have experienced our own dark genocide, so it felt I needed to become a more of a political witch on the podcast. I really am proud of this episode and I think it moved a lot of people because I had a little flurry of connections afterwards on social media sites, emails, DMs saying like, wow, this has brought me to tears and the poetry moved me and thank you so much for having this difficult conversation. I know I can do it, I've got it in me and I've got so much more serious desire now to take on big subjects and also be more of a solitary witch. I do find myself wanting to do more and more solitary witch episodes, maybe a bit shorter, so not so much long form, but medium form. And that's totally a confidence thing as well. I now have the self-belief that I can run a podcast completely as a solitary witch and do a good episode of helpful content. Not so many interviews as I'm currently doing, but also invite people on that I know from feedback that the audience really gelled with and that also I gelled with. I mean, I won't stop interviewing people because I do really like meeting people and that's how I flourish and grow and survive as a podcast, because the guests who come on, they have their communities too. So they are helping me grow. They are giving me a leg up. And personally, I really need connection, community and new people in my life. This is a realisation that I had maybe 5 years ago. Yeah, it would have been that horrible year that tested us all that shall not be named. The loneliness was depleting my soul. It really was. I need to be in conversation with new people as often as possible. The people who are open to spirituality and magic and witchcraft and manifesting, a bit of woo-woo and a bit of science and things that don't quite make sense, and that there is no such thing as coincidence, crew. And I begin to have returning guests, which is such a fabulous feeling as well. The fact that they enjoyed being a guest on the Bell Witch so much, they wanted to come back and do it all again. And then in the most circular way that life presents itself, I find myself interviewing people who I discovered right at the beginning of the podcast journey. The first podcasts that I ever listened to that are making it big are becoming guests on the Bell Witch. And I find myself being a little bit starstruck at times, in all honesty. And I'm cheering loud for them because I want to see them win and I want to see them grow. And I really do hope that I receive that back from other podcasters too. In a rubbish capitalist materialist society that wants to pitch us off against each other when we're in the same realms, the same business strategies, especially women in general, never mind women who podcast. Got to be honest, I've got to be authentic. It is nice to feel it back, but I'll send it out forever regardless anyway. But I'm trying new stuff. I'm getting a field mic and I'm doing Vox Pox interviews and I'm forever thinking about the new things I can offer the Patreons, the subscribers who believe in me so much they are willing to put a little tiny amount of money my way every month. I'm so thankful for them. So I think we have come to where we are right now. In June of 2026, after having a great first year of high downloads, realizations and reflections, my favourite episodes so far have been The Green Man, The Magic of Words, pretty much all the Sabbat episodes I've done so far. The Vox Poxing was pretty awesome. And the guests that I've encountered this past 6 months to a year have been absolutely fabulous. Why does one podcast? There are so many reasons why I podcast and continue to show up, even when there is times when I really don't want to. I'm so sure I haven't got it in me. I still show up because it is magic. My podcast station has become an altar to my audio magic every week, every 2 weeks. I stand here and I work with the audio waves and I speak my truth. Being present in my most authentic self, which is a higher vibration than the trusty vibration of love in terms of manifesting. Podcasting has taught me so many lessons, like listen to myself, speak my truth, have faith in my abilities, don't be afraid to be seen, and don't be afraid to be wrong. There is episodes that I dislike, honestly, and I want to delete them because the things I say are no longer true, but it'd be a disservice to the listener to delete one because there is a gradual journey there and you're allowed to change and grow and disagree with yourself of the past. The podcast enables me to actively work with my ancestors of my past, my family history. I worship them through the airwaves because I talk about the memories of them. And that helps me heal. It really does help me heal. And it absolutely is witchcraft. It powers up my spells. It powers up my magic, my rituals and my communal energies. And I've made friends, like actual real life friends, from people I met in person at events, to podcasters that hold my hand through wobbles, to an actual school run mum, a very shy one, who bought my t-shirt, again, emotional, who bought my t-shirt and started talking to me because she felt okay to speak to me after listening to my podcast, and is now like one of my best friends. That is why I podcast right there. I really cherish the gifts that the Bell Witch podcast brings me. So many gifts and opportunities in the form of events, networking, the chance to be in magazines, being interviewed, free stuff in the post. I low-key love this for myself. An invitation to do reviews, an invitation to public speak at festivals, which I know I'm going to get there. I'm going to manifest it. It is such a huge barrier. But then again, starting a podcast was a huge barrier. And yet, here I am. In the future, I must get on the stage and public speak and defeat the demons that frighten me so much about being perceived in real time. Lots of beautiful souls staring at me, asking me for wisdom and insights. But yeah, I'm so frightened. I guess that's what's next for the Bell Witch, is pushing out of my comfort zone yet again. If you are still here, well done. That is no easy feat. You really are a Bell Witch super fan. Thank you so much for listening to 100 minutes of the 100th episode of the Bell Witch podcast, which has been going for 3.5 years. You are a legend for continuing to listen right to the very bitter end. And to celebrate, there is a 100th episode mug, and that will be available for 100 days after this podcast airs. I shall put it in the link below, and I'll also include the Discord link where you are able to join the Discord to talk to us about all things spooky, spiritual, witchy and weird. That's it from me. This is the longest episode ever. I'm going to go lay down now. It is, in fact, midnight, as per. And I think I'm going to have a little break now, maybe a month or two, just to get my house in order and rethink the direction and maybe come up with some new ideas. I'm not quitting. Absolutely, I'm not quitting. I am just having a rest. After 3 years, I've done constant 2 weekly episodes, and the last couple of months I've been attempting weekly ones, which I still don't know how people do that. I just need to lie down. So thank you so much for being here. Stay magical, my dear witch.
Hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.